Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello there, Internet, and welcome to another edition of Today We Learned. I'm your host, Dan Casey, and you have stumbled upon another episode of our fantastic podcast, the podcast of knowledge. Probably not knowledge that you need or that you'll be able to use very often, but when you do get to use it, oh man, you should see the look on your face. It's going to be great. We've got a fantastic show for you today, and it's a little bittersweet for me because... well, because I'm not there. This is the only part of the episode I'm on. I was not available. I was out of town, actually. I was up in Seattle for Emerald City Comic Con. But I'm back now, just for this intro. But the show must go on. And so Razzle endeavored to persevere, and he rounded up a fantastic guest. I think you're going to be very pleased with this episode. You've seen this guy all over the place. You're from the Sarah Silverman program. He was in actually a movie that Nerdist put out called Nerdist Presents the Hive. This guy is all over the place and honestly one of the funniest people in Los Angeles and or the country. So put your hands together just by yourself, clap in your car. But make sure you've pulled over first. I don't want you like crashing or anything. Put your hands together for Today We Learn, number 131 with Steve Agee.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Have you ever filmed up in Toronto? Have you ever been to Toronto? I've never been to Toronto.
I went to Toronto once for the film festival, and it was awesome.
Yeah?
I mean, it was the perfect time of year. It was fall. It was super, just perfect weather, and it's like a clean, less aggressive New York. And I was just like, I fucking love this place.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could fucking live here. And people were like, how do you do in the snow? And I was like, not great. They're like, you couldn't live in Toronto.
I'm friends with a girl in Toronto, and they get so much snow.
Yeah.
It's bananas. Like, I mean, New York gets a lot of snow too, but...
the best steak I've ever had in my life was in Toronto. We were there for the film festival. We went to this restaurant called Chiado, C-H-I-A-D-O.
Oh, not like the band Chiodos.
No, and it's a Portuguese restaurant. So it's mostly seafood, and which I'm not super into. And so I went with my friend because it's her favorite restaurant. She's like, oh, my God, it's they have the best octopus. And she's like, I'm not into that stuff, but it's so good. And I went just to humor her, and I was like, oh, God, nothing on here is really speaking to me. I'm not into fish. And I was like, oh, I'll have this steak. Best steak I've ever had in my life, to the point where we canceled our plane ticket and moved it an extra day so we could go back there
another
again
steak
the next night.
I'm not a huge seafood fan either. I was in New York a year and a half ago, 2 years ago maybe, visiting my buddy who was out there filming something. And yeah, then we went to this weird fancy, you know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know, the fish places they have there. And they had these weird plates of like sushi and mm-mm, like little like octopus tentacles. Mm-mm. And they're like, dude, they were like trying to get me to eat one. They're like, we'll give you, they're like, I'll put in 10. They had like 10 people around the table offering to put in like $10 each. For like $100 to eat like this weird little like slimy piece of shit like
nope,
octopus thing. And they're like, but before you do that, they put some like salt or something on it and it started to move and it's like, no, why would I do that?
I'm not into that.
I'm not going to do that. I'll eat steak though. But so Chiado, I looked up real quick. For those of you, ladies and gentlemen, while we're, you know, you're listening to some great stuff here. You've seen him on At Midnight. You've seen him on New Girl. I've seen him on New Girl a lot. I love that show. You've seen him on You Are the Worst, which is also a really, really funny show.
Yeah.
You've heard him on Adventure Time, The Cleveland Show. He was a writer for Jimmy Kimmel Live. Ladies and gentlemen, super funny comedian. You've seen him all over. Steve Agee.
Boom.
There we go.
What's up?
So Chiado, you mentioned that's the name of the restaurant,
uh-huh,
and it's Portuguese.
Yep.
Which it is, because I'm going to confirm with you. You're absolutely right.
I wouldn't lie to you.
Chiado.
I'm just a restaurant liar. I'm like, yeah, I've eaten the place is, it's Icelandic food. You're like, that's a McDonald's, dude.
McDougal's. Chiado is, It's got, on Wikipedia here, it's got the pronunciation. I can't say that because I don't speak Portuguese, but it's the name of a square and its surrounding area in the city of Lisbon, Portugal.
Okay.
The Chiado is located between the neighborhoods of Barro Alto and Baixa Pombilha. So it's a traditional shopping area, and that's that must be where the name comes from.
Yeah.
For that restaurant, but Chiado, it's a it's like a hip square, a popular. Then it's a toponym Chiado. The toponym Chiado has existed since around 1567. Initially, the name referred to Garrett Street, and later the whole surrounding area. So that that's a It always interests me. Like, I mean, that's kind of like it's the show. I think I mentioned it. It's like it's kind of like a fun chit chat podcast with random facts bursting in. So it's always fun. Yeah, it's always interesting.
I was listening. I was listening on the way over to the Seth Green one.
Okay.
And I was surprised. I didn't get all the way through it. So maybe because I got here early, and maybe he did discuss it. But like up until the point I'd been listening, he didn't mention. And this is the my favorite fun fact about Seth is he's. The cha-ching guy.
Yes.
He's the first guy to say fucking cha-ching.
We got to it.
You did.
Then.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. I mean, I'm from the Midwest, and we'll get to where you're from in a minute. But rallies.
Yeah.
And it's like I – that's what – we got into – I didn't – I don't – I like – because that is something – something like that. I wasn't sure if I should top load it or bring get to it towards the end. And we got to it, and he's got some great stories about that.
Like I
got to
keep listening because I got – I'm like halfway into it, and then I pulled up here, and I was like, ugh. I can't believe he hasn't mentioned cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Like, for the new listeners that have started listening over the last year, Seth Green was on a year and a half ago, 2 years ago maybe. And if you're in the Midwest, there's a fast food restaurant called Rally's. If you're out on the West Coast, it's called Checkers, I believe, or Checkers in the
Something
South.
Something like that, yeah. I think it's called Rally's now.
Maybe.
I think they're all called Rally's.
And their fries are so good.
Really good.
Their fries.
Yeah, really good.
Really good fries. They had a commercial in the late 80s, early 90s where there was this fast food guy. And because back in those days, like, fast foods were cheap. Like, you had, like, Hot Now. Do you remember Hot Now?
No.
Hot Now was like a – it may have been a Midwest thing, but it was literally like 39-cent hamburgers. Jeez. And it was kind of like the fancy – like how in like L.A. you have like Umami Burger and stuff like that where you can't alter it or whatever.
Yeah.
It was 39 cents for a hamburger. That's what you got. Like you couldn't say I want ketchup only. You couldn't do that. And it was like that was their thing. And Rally's for a while was like super cheap, everything cheap. You can feed a family for less than $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had – he was like – it was a phenom.
Cha-ching.
It was a phenom of the catchphrase of Seth Green was this fast food guy, and every time he would take an order, he would just be like, cha-ching, and he would do like – he would do almost like that – like if you're – like if you see a semi truck drive by and you want him to pull the horn,
the fist pump.
It was like a fist pump to like his rib area, and he's like cha-ching, and it was like phenomenal.
I mean, he's technically the first person to say cha-ching, even though you know an ad person said it in a meeting was like, what if we have him going cha-ching? Yeah, Don Draper, but he's started it, man.
Yeah.
He's like, and it's really rare when you can take a phrase and like. Go right back to its actual origin.
It's an interesting thing, and that's why like I love the show. We're on like 130 episodes or something like that. August will be 3 years,
nice.
And it's really interesting because you'll get like we'll get weird things like that, like stories where it's like holy shit,
yeah,
like it's almost like surfing Wikipedia blue links, which is half the time how I find the facts for the show,
yeah,
because it's like very like a phrase that you say all of the time,
yeah,
where to like you don't even think about it. And that's where, like, the origin cha-ching, or, you know, that's where that comes from.
Yeah, I've listened to a bunch of them. I was also listening to the Henry Rollins one, which I'm a huge Henry Rollins fan.
He's so good.
But I had a great Henry Rollins story. Well,
yes,
it's not a great Henry Rollins story, but it involves him. I went to a dinner party in Santa Monica, like, maybe 2 or 3 years ago and with my friend, and we got there way early. I am famously early everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Like I go to a lot of parties and I just somehow I'm always early. I most likely if you're at a party, I'm sitting in the car waiting for it to happen.
That's a good thing. And I'll be honest, I used to kind of like, I have a lot of friends who like to be fashionable and be late.
Yeah.
And since I've moved to LA, I'm that guy only because I like to, like people say, I like to either
I'd like to, A, start the party off.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to kind of stay late. If yeah. I like to, like, end it. Like, if the party says it ends at 11, I'll stay till 11 because I know the host, like, the people who put on the party, they expect – they don't – you don't want them to have everybody leave at, like, 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
And I also like going early because everybody else in this town is fashionably late. So you get more face time with the person who actually invited you.
Yeah.
And I have a rule, too, with parties and being invited to things – say yes, because I give it like a thing. Like I say, if you say no to an invite from a person more than twice, chances are they're going to stop inviting you.
Yeah, you'll
places.
Stop getting invited.
And I like getting invited to things. So.
I have friends who've never go to parties and then will start complaining. They'll see Instagrams like, photos. Dude, why didn't you guys invite me to this party? You hate me or something? And we're just like, you never go.
Yeah.
It's just – we just automatically are you like, ah, she's not going to
show. Not going to come. So – but so I also like to arrive early for the FaceTime with the guests and the hosts. So
we get to this person's house in Santa Monica, and the person hasn't even like showered yet. Like they're still getting shit ready in the kitchen. But they're like, hey, how's it going? Come on in. And so we're hanging out in the kitchen while she's getting ready. And then the doorbell rings, and it's Henry Rollins. And he comes in, and I'm a huge fan of
him. Do you remember what he was wearing?
I think a black T-shirt.
Like cargo shorts and boots, probably.
Yeah,
that's what he wore here. Like exactly what I expected.
What you would think he would be wearing is what he was wearing. And so he comes in, and it was like a wild mountain lion had walked into the room. There was just a weird energy. Yeah. He gives off a very intense energy.
Oh, yeah.
Super nice guy, but there's something there. Maybe it's because I'm so aware of his, you know, work in Black Flag. And, you know, I was way into the Rollins Band. I saw them a bunch of times. And, like, he's really fucking intense. And so he comes in. He's like, hello. And not a man of many words. Like, he's just like, hello, how are you? And then the host was like, well, I got to go up and get ready. And so she leaves, and it's just the three of us in this kitchen.
So he also showed up super early.
Yeah, yeah. He's there super early. So it's the three of us in this kitchen, and my heart is pounding. Like, I don't know why. I really don't think he's going to punch me in the face or anything, but I'm like, it's a weird, like, he's so intense.
Oh.
And I just said to my friend, hey, you want to go outside and smoke? And she's like, yep. And neither of us smoked, and we just... We're going to go outside and smoke. He's like, all right. And we go outside, and we were both like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's so fucking intense. We didn't talk to him the rest of the party, but, I mean, he was very nice.
He's super nice, very intense. He's very, like, enunciative.
Mm-hmm.
Like even just being calm and talking, he's very like, hello, how are you? Like, he's very, very articulate.
Very precise.
Precise. Very, very nice guy. Very kind guy.
Mm-hmm.
Smart guy.
So smart.
And like one thing that fascinated me about that show that he was on was he used to like manage a Haagen-Dazs place. So he started like, I brought that up and all of a sudden he's like saying like,
talking about
ice cream and cleaning the counters.
Yeah.
And, like he was very like very like anal and OCD about, I want my counters clean. I'm the manager. Like, and it's like, holy shit, this is awesome.
He can talk ice cream, but then like on a dime switch and talk about philosophy. And
oh man.
Super smart. I used to love his show, the Henry Rollins show.
Yeah.
And he would always have like a rant or something about something. And one that I always go back and I send, like you can find it on YouTube and I send it to people, is he's ranting about people complaining about their favorite band selling out. Like you see your favorite band's song in a commercial. And you get pissed off that they're selling out. And his defense of those bands is so awesome, where he's like, these people got into music to make a living doing it. And most bands can't make a living doing it. This is just them finding another way to make a – like, and he's put it so eloquently that like I don't even repeat it to people. I'm just – when someone's like, man, I heard this fucking – someone's, you know, Fu Manchu song in this – in this commercial, I'm like, check this out, motherfucker.
It's exactly that. Like, it's I've always said, like, I used to be in a I used to be in a punk band years ago, like, you know, in the early 2000s when I was a kid. And then even, like, you know, getting into comedy and stand-up and podcast and all that. And everybody, like, you have, like, the hipsters or even, like, the punks or everything who use the phrase selling out. And it's like I always go back to, like, the Who sellout.
Yeah.
Where their faces and the names are on the cover of their album on, like, Heinz bottles and stuff. Because that's the whole point of getting into the entertainment business to begin with is business. Then it's entertainment. And to me, it's like, as an artist, you want to make a living doing that. So you have to sell out. Like, the starving artist, nobody wants to be a starving artist. They want to be an eating artist. And in order to do that, you need to sell things.
Yeah.
Be it a song that you wrote to, you know, a Neutrogena commercial or whatever. Or, you know, being in, you know, the new Fast 8 movie or whatever. It's like, you know, or in your case, being in the new Blade Runner movie. Congratulations. Is that a real thing?
No.
That's not
that
a real thing?
That was an April Fool's joke.
Because I feel like I've seen a few posts of that.
No. Yeah, that was just crazy. You?
Because I feel like I've seen other people too, like, post that.
Oh, a lot of people did after I photoshopped it.
Fuck you, motherfucker, dude. Because I fell for that, obviously. That's great.
No, I...
That was great.
On April Fool's, I just was like, oh, I'm going to... Because I'm really good at Photoshop.
Yeah,
and so I went in and I went on to Deadline. I do this a lot. I went on to Deadline and I found like... who was it? It was actually Robin Wright joins the cast of the Blade Runner sequel. And so I just put a picture of me over a picture of her.
Man.
I took out all the text and rewrote it exactly except my name where her name was. But if you look closely at the picture, it's still online. Up in the very top, there's still small print where it says story or breaking Robin Wright joins.
Oh.
But I posted it, and like, I had to sit at my computer on Facebook because like every 10th person would be like, "Ha ha, April Fools," and I would have to just delete it. I'm like, "You're fucking ruining my joke."
Yeah, yeah.
But I was getting texts from so many people going, "Dude, that's huge! You and fucking
Ryan
Gosling." And I'm just like,
Harrison Ford's too, right?
Yeah, I think he's had. Yeah, and I'm like, April Fools, and they're like, "You motherfucker!"
Because it's one of those things where, like, the Deadline articles, like, I have in my RSS feed, I use Feedly, and I have Variety, I have Hollywood Reporter, I have all the trades. Like, I keep tabs on everything that's going on. I mean, you kind of have to know, you know, who's making decisions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it, and I feel like I've seen it a few other people.
A bunch of people reposted.
But I also I'm so attuned to just seeing Deadline. And I seen know. That, and it was like, holy cow. So to find out that's a joke, that's a well-played joke.
No, I...
Because I almost put together some Blade Runner facts.
Oh, I was watching Blade Runner 2 days ago. I love the movie.
It's so good.
And and I posted... My timing was good because I posted it towards the end of the day on April Fool's. Like, all the April... Usually you wake up in the morning and everyone's like, I have cancer. And you're like, what? And they're like, just kidding. And you're like, Jesus Christ. And it's all morning.
Yeah.
And so I did it later in the day when I think it had died down. And
that's great. That's a smart thing to do. You do it like when everybody is already closing down for the night.
Yeah, 11:59.
11:59. Do they wake up the next morning and see it? And you can still say, I posted it yesterday.
Yeah, because people were posting it on Instagram and stuff the next day, and I was like, ooh, shit.
That's so funny.
It's not April Fool's anymore.
Yeah, but you posted it on April Fool's.
I posted it on April Fool's.
That's so funny.
I would love to have been in that movie.
Well, there have been things that like just get everybody to continue posting it. Because I've heard stories of people like saying they're in things or whatever, and they like coax their way into even being, you know.
Finally, someone's like,
I mean, you could be a coffee guy or whatever in it just to still be in it.
Yeah. I could be a replicant.
Oh, man, that movie's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I love it. It still holds up.
There's a place downtown I haven't been. I've been to the weird castle house in Los Feliz, but there's like the Roosevelt Tower or whatever downtown or whatever. Like, that's a weird.
The Bradbury Building.
The Bradbury Building. Mm-hmm. I've never been there, but I need to go there.
It's really cool.
I'm actually working on trying to develop a YouTube series that I'm actually I'm pitched to Nerdist that they may or may not be picking up or whatever. But it'd be like comedians in cars getting coffee.
But going to
movie locations.
That's a great idea.
So like the pilot I put together is like three Back to the Future things. And then like we'd do like the Nakatomi Plaza or we'd do like the Blade Runner places. And it's just such a fun because I'm a huge fan of movies and obviously chit chatting with funny people.
The Brady Bunch House.
Brady Bunch House.
The Valley, yeah.
So When That's a great idea.
You should definitely do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good idea.
I'm going to do it regardless of if they do it or not. So I'll have to. You can do the Bradbury.
I would love to go to the Bradbury building. It's been a long time.
Yeah. So as you know, because I mentioned it to you, we'd like to start off each. We'd like to have the guest bring a fact or something about themselves. So what fun or what interesting?
I had two. Yeah, one is a fun fact about myself.
Got it. Let's hear it.
And that's that. I went to I was sent to military school.
Get the fuck out of here.
When I was a teenager. Like, you know, in the 80s, a lot of 80s movies like Bill and Ted's, there's always a threat of,
if you
don't get your shit together, you're going to military school.
What was the one with, it may have been just the military. The one with Matthew Broderick, it was Paul Simon, or it was not Paul Simon, Neil Simon play.
Oh, I think that's Biloxi Blues.
Biloxi Blues, but that's straight up Army. That's not Army. Military school.
But there was a movie in the 80s called Taps.
Taps. Tom Cruise was in
Sean
it, right?
Penn, Tom Cruise, Timothy Hutton.
Charlie Sheen,
but like
I'm confusing him with Apocalypse Now. Maybe.
George C. Scott, like, and it was a movie where they were kids in this military school, and the military school was kind of underfunded, and they were closing down to make way for like a parking lot or a mall or something, and the kids didn't want that to happen, and so they grabbed the guns from the arsenal. And they fucking barricaded themselves in the school. And they're like, that was the plot of Taps. And that's the school I went to where they filmed that.
Get out of town. Where was that? Was that – because you were born in Riverside.
Uh-huh. California. No, this was Wayne, Pennsylvania. Valley Forge. Right outside Philly.
And you got sent there when you were how old?
Somewhere between 16 and 17.
And that's did you want to go or your parents?
I guess if it's between 16 and 17, it's 16. 16 and a half.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's true. Everybody's like, I was in between. It was between 16. So you were 16.
So you're 16.
And did you want to go or were you like were your parents strict? Or like, I guess that's an interesting concept to
my parents were fairly relaxed, which is why I think I went off the deep end as a kid. I did most of my partying as a teenager.
Okay.
And it really made my schoolwork suffer. I was like D's and F's, and my parents didn't know what to do. I was drinking so much in high school. I would regularly roll up to school with a big gulp that I got at like 7-Eleven, and I'd fill halfway with Coke and the other half with rum. And by the end of the first period, I would be drunk. And I would be drunk the whole day in school. Like, it was a real problem. And I got kicked out of, you know, high school, and my parents just didn't know what to do. And so they're like, we're sending you to military. Because they had friends who sent their kid to the same school.
To the same one.
And he got straight A's and everything.
That's a far away one, though. They didn't have one on, like, the West Coast? They didn't, like, say they didn't want to visit you?
There's one in New Mexico, but I think it was because they knew someone
who went there
and had good results.
Yeah.
And it was really surreal. It was fucking another world. It was I a couple years ago sold a pilot to FX based on that.
Oh, I mean, that's a good idea. That's a really great idea.
It was pitched as, you know, this guy from California who's just a fucking partier and, you know, a slacker, but fairly normal, you know. I don't know how my other friends managed to get A's and B's and C's, but this guy who's a fuck up gets sent to a school where everybody is a fuck up. Like, it is like the all stars of fuck ups. Like, I would never, like, looking back, I would never.
That's such a funny idea because you think of like people who get sent to military school and it is fuck ups.
Oh my God, dude.
To get straight A's, it's almost like you're just sending them to a party school.
Yeah.
Full of other fuck ups.
You might as well send your kids to like Florida State or something.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
That's such a fun, like.
It was really
such a good
idea. I mean, and there's a mix of like, there's some guys there who want to be in the Army and be officers,
like,
and so it's like they're ROTC and they're kind of serious about it, but it's overwhelmingly just, you know, Bill Murray types of just like going AWOL and drinking, and you get into military school and you're subject to daily inspections. You know, they go into your room And so you can't hide a bottle of booze in your room. Like, they go through everything. But you can hide a bag of weed. You can hide a bag of speed. Like, I got way more into drugs when I went to –
Really? Just because other people that were there with you? Or it was easier to get?
It was easier.
In Philadelphia?
It was easier to have and hide. You know, you can hide a – a dime bag of fucking anything in your mattress or in a light socket. For those kids listening.
On your list of hiding spots, where does light socket rank?
It's up there, man. It's a good spot.
That's such a I feel like I've seen lights where it's like a hollowed out light bulb that
That's a thing.
Taps, by the way, is a bugle call. The name Taps comes from a bugle call played at dusk during the flag ceremonies.
Yeah, it's the lowering of the flag. It's the funerals. That's Taps.
That's my new ringtone, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yeah, make that my caller ID.
We're going to put that on iTunes for Steve AG. Get him some money for some new hats.
I am surprised I remember that. But yeah, if you had a rifle here, I would know all those, right shoulder. I know all that stuff. Yeah.
All that army training, sir, from Stripes.
Present arms, right shoulder arms.
You can still do all of that.
All that, yeah.
And how long ago was this?
I mean.
You would have been 16, so how old are you now?
This was 30 years ago.
Holy shit.
I'm 47.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you still got it all.
Yeah, it's weird.
Did you ever take rifles apart and do all that weird shit?
No, we didn't get into the whole, what's it called? Nomenclature.
Yeah.
And no, I mean, we knew about we had to know about that stuff, but we didn't take them apart.
Yeah. And you were there for how many years?
2 years.
2 years.
Junior,
so you graduated.
Junior, senior year. Yeah.
And did you get better grades?
I did. I got like B's and A's.
Now, were they just doling out B's and A's to make it look like that school is a success? Or were
they
legitimately doing that?
No, I was legitimately, there's a mandatory study hour from like 7 to 9. I think that's the time, or it's 8 to 10. But you have to sit at your desk in your room. Doors are open. They have hall monitors walking up and down the halls. So there's literally, this is before computers, so it's like 2 hours where there's nothing to do. You're just sitting at a desk. So you eventually just like, fuck it, I'll read this. Yeah. And I got fucking good grades.
That's great. So it was a success.
Yeah. My parents, just brag about, it really turned them around. I'm like, God damn it, it did. But
were you angry at your parents for sending you there?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, do you have a better relationship with them now?
Yeah, my dad just passed away, but okay. It was.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. It was. Later in life, it was. I got very close to my parents.
Yeah,
but there was a period for, a few years where I was just like, "Fuck! You sent me to a fucking foreign land." Yeah.
I mean, at 16, the United States still is big. Like, I'm 34, and it's still a trek. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at 16. Even 30 years ago, it was even bigger without the internet, without MapQuest, without any of that,
And this was like
before cell phones, before all that horseshit.
Yeah. And this is, you're going to a school where you literally don't know one single person, let alone the town.
On, yeah.
Yeah. It was fucking weird, man.
There's definitely something interesting about even to think of, I have a brother and I have a brother and a sister. I have a brother. Mm-hmm. Just forget my sister. But and they have kids, and it's definitely being an adult now, thinking about what that must, the decision that needs to be, for the parent, just being, almost like, what do we do? Like, we love this kid so much. We want him to do well. Do we, it's almost like abandoning him. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, that's
tough
weird.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you had another. Another fun fact.
The other one, and you'll appreciate this as a bearded person. I've learned a lot of beer lore from you, but I didn't know this was a thing until I've grown this beard out for a movie. I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I'm not a beard person. I always have like a shadow or scruff, but I've never grown it out to this length. But a thing I never knew that no one really tells you about is beard dandruff.
Oh, yeah.
Like I wear a lot of black shirts and I'll look down and they'll be just like fucking dandruff, but on your chest, which is really fucking weird. Like my friend, you know, the first time I noticed it, he was like, dude, you have dandruff on the front of your shirt? And I was like, what the fuck, man? Like you have to shampoo your chin.
You have to shampoo
now.
Condition because it dries it out because you're – which is interesting. It's almost like you think – like it's almost like a reverse. Like you'd think it would keep in the moisture and you think
– yeah, because
you think your skin with the – like the air – like if you were clean shaven, you think it would, but it dries it out. You think it would dry it out. Like if you were clean shaven, then you would get that.
Yeah,
but it doesn't.
No,
or it just hangs out in your beard, and you notice.
Well, I was reading.
You know what I mean?
I think I might have saved it, but I was reading about like the causes, and I might have it in here.
Because it's interesting. Like you'd think it would almost dry out more clean shaven, but
oh yeah, here we go. Where's that sentence in here? Yeah. The exact cause of your beard dandruff can be a combination of stress. Yep, that's me.
Yeah.
Colder weather, which we're having
right now.
And the one that's in bold writing that really is the one that creeped me out was yeast that lives in the skin.
Huh.
One of the more common reasons for the flaking of the skin is the yeast is hidden from ultraviolet light. And that...
Oh, that makes sense.
And the ultraviolet slows the growth of yeast. And so the beard hair protects that yeast and it thrives in darker locations. Fuck, man. Yeast.
Is loneliness and low self-confidence also on that list? Because
it might as well be.
There's mine. Yeast. That's interesting. See, that's weird shit too. Like, it's like you have all these weird chemicals that science may or may not even know about that's in the human body.
Yeah.
And the ultraviolet light hides it. But then when it's hidden or whatever, it just starts to
play. When the light's away, the yeast will play.
So you went to military school.
Yeah.
And then what did you do when you graduated that? Moved back here?
I came back and all my friends were going to college and I didn't want to go to college, but I didn't know what else to do. I didn't really – I didn't feel like I was ready to get like a job, you know, because up until that point, you know, my summers were spent doing like construction and just part-time work. And so I just went to college because that's what everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
I went to the small – like private college here in Southern California called Loma Linda University, which is most famous for being a medical school. Like Loma Linda University has a hospital, and that's the hospital where they did the first baboon heart transplant.
Really?
Like, it's a really progressive medical school and hospital. Like, and I mean, top of the line, people from all over the world, you know, come to this, want to go to Loma Linda University Medical School. But I went there I grew up spending all my summers at the beach, mostly Catalina, skin diving, scuba diving.
Really? So you're big into like scuba and skin diving. And what's the difference between skin diving? Scuba diving is scuba diving is with the tank.
Skin diving is a snorkel.
Skin diving is a snorkel. Okay.
Yeah.
And scuba, remind me what the scuba is, an acronym.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I was doing that from an early age, and, you know, I got scuba certified. And so I was like, maybe I can go to this medical school and get all my biology prerequisites and become a marine biologist. Because I was like, that's something I would love to do. And so my first semester of college, I just failed biology. I couldn't grasp it. It was because what they do is they start you off on like the microscopic level of biology and kind of expand from there. So later on, it gets into like
the cool shit.
But this was just like cells and amoebas and all. And I just couldn't retain it. And I didn't find that shit interesting.
It's not.
And so I failed. And so the next semester I was undeclared. I was like, I'll just do a bunch of, you know, undergraduate prerequisite classes and shit that'll count towards whatever I finally decide. And then a friend of mine, my friend Sam, who I'm still, he's one of my best friends I've known since I was 14. He was there in the art school, like as a photography major. He's like, dude, just be an art major. I was like, what? He's like, just be an art major. It's so fucking easy. He's like, I've seen you draw and doodle and, you know, you can draw shit. He's like, you can do it. And I was like, all right. And so I switched and became an art major. And for the next, you know, like 4 years, it was actually more like 5 or 6 because I took a lot of semesters off. I just faked my way into an art degree. Like, I can't paint. I have a degree.
You take photos. You're a photographer.
I do.
You take really great photos.
I started that I've only been doing that like 10 years though. Because at the time I took photography in art school.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the patience for dark rooms developing and waiting. It wasn't until digital cameras became what they are now that I got back photography. But I have a degree in painting and I can't fucking paint. I haven't painted since college.
Yeah. What was the end goal? Like, what was the, like with biology going into that, you were, because you enjoyed scuba diving. Do you still scuba dive? Are you still into
that?
No,
I would have to get recertified. I think it's been so long, but I would love to do it again.
But so you went into that with that end goal.
Uh-huh.
What was the end goal of the degree in art, like an art major degree?
It was like maybe I can go into graphic design because I took a lot of graphic design classes. Maybe I can go work for an ad agency or something in the design aspect of it. I really didn't have an end goal. It was just to keep myself busy for a few more years while I figured shit out.
Yeah.
And that's when I started playing in bands.
Okay.
And I'd always been doing stand-up throughout all that, like open mic nights and stuff. But I came from a world where no one in my family was artistic. I mean, my aunt was a really good artist, but that was about it. And so I didn't know how to go about being a comedian. I thought that was, people were like born into families of entertainers. And so I just did it as a hobby. And it wasn't until I came to LA with a band and the band broke up that I started comedy like a little more.
What was the name of the band?
The Grazers.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of music?
Kind of, you know, buzzcocky, punkish rock, you know?
Yeah. My band name, we were more like we started off with like pop punk and then like, I think we started in like 2000, pop punk. And then we got more into like the Rancid type punk, like
nice.
More like East, like West Coast type of
punk.
Our band name was Joe Friday.
Joe Friday?
Joe Friday.
I like that.
Band names. I like hearing band names. Like I always, it's interesting. Like I, especially like that type of like the punk music. I always joke around. Like punk bands tend to have funnier album names.
Yeah.
Than like comedians do.
Oh
and
yeah.
And it always kind of like it's kind of like a catch 22. Like I get it, but it's also like comedians have funnier. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I don't know.
Yeah, comedian albums should be like the titles of albums should be like Knock Knock. You know, just like. Something comedy related.
Something. I don't know. But so what instrument did you play? Because you also
I played bass.
You play bass. Do you still play bass? Because you I
have
feel like
a
I
bass.
Know is it you put on like comedy band shows, right?
I do a monthly show with Brendan Small, who's the creator of Metalocalypse.
Okay.
And Home Movies. But Brendan's like an amazing like he went to Berklee School of Music. He's like a shredder. He's like so good. You know, he was making albums through Metalocalypse. The band on Metalocalypse was called Death Clock. And he made albums for, you know, the show.
Yeah.
Like, he had to write songs for this fictional band. And, like, those albums were, like, becoming the top-selling albums of all time for, like, you know, death metal or whatever.
Oh, that's great.
Genre that was that he was doing.
Thrashcore.
And so he would tour, you know, doing these songs with like a lot of Zappa guys, you know, like Mike Keneally and like these amazing musicians. And so I met Brendan a long time ago, but we reconnected fairly recently and we were at a party and we just started geeking out about music and pedals and shit. And he was like, oh, my friends are playing at the Baked Potato, which is a jazz club here in L.A. He's like, you want to go see them tonight? And I was like, sure. And so we went to the Baked Potato and watched these guys. And these are guys like Joe Travers, who played drums with Dweezil, and Zappa plays Zappa, and Pete Griffin, who plays bass on Zappa, plays Zappa. Like, these are like some of the top like studio musicians. Yeah. And Joe is also – he's the guy
in charge. Did any of them play on the Watch Out Where Those Huskies Go, Don't You Eat No Yellow Snow? That was a Zappa record. It was a Frank record.
What year was that? Later? Because Mike Keneally actually played with Zappa himself. Yeah. These other guys played with Dweezil and Ahmet. But Joe, they call him the Vaultmeister. He's the guy in charge of Zappa's like actual – he's like the foremost authority on Frank Zappa. So these guys are all really good. And so we ended up just being like, we should do a show here, a comedy and music show. And these guys can be our house band. And we get stand-up comedians to do a set. And then they end their set with a song with the band. And they can either sing or they can play a musician, yeah, or an instrument. You know, Jonah Ray's done the show with us and he plays drums. You know, Joe gets up and we'll do like a Metallica song. And it's really fun. And now we're doing it at the Improv. And we'll be doing it at Bridgetown Comedy Festival June. Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's fun. And I just play a guitar with him because I can't play bass and sing.
Yeah.
I can't play bass as well as Pete. He's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so I'll just play rhythm guitar. And I mean, these guys are really fucking intimidating.
That's great. And I've had an idea for a project I've been toying around with and thinking about, and I'll mention it to you. I'll talk to you off air and see if it has any interest to you. But knowing that you both are musicianally inclined, to do with that.
Let me know.
You were born in Riverside.
Yep, an hour away.
An hour away. Riverside is a city in Riverside County, California. It's located in the Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. I got some facts I'm gonna skim through because you probably have more insight on some of that. The Mission Inn. It's the home of the largest Mission Revival style building known as the Mission Inn.
It's downtown. My parents were married at the Mission Inn. It's just this big Spanish style. It's beautiful. I think it's probably the main attraction in Riverside.
Yeah, Riverside was founded in the early 1870s. Mm-hmm. It's known as the birthplace of the California citrus industry.
Yeah, a lot of orange groves.
Yeah, the first orange trees were planted in 1871, but the citrus industry Riverside is famous for. It began a few years later when a lady by the name of Eliza Tibbetts received three Brazilian naval orange trees sent to her from her friend William Saunders, who was a horticulturist in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Do you know about that?
No.
You didn't learn about
this? I didn't know about that.
No.
I do know it's the beginnings of the citrus industry in California.
Though. One of which is the oldest. It's the trees – she planted the trees on her ground. One of them, her husband's was a cattle farmer. One of them got trampled over. So then another one – so then the other two subsequently got moved. One was moved to the Mission Inn property in 1903 by President Roosevelt. Wow. That tree died in 1922. But the other was placed at the intersection of Magnolia and Arlington. Do you know where that is? I don't know where that is.
Yeah, it's like a mile from where I grew up.
Okay.
I know exactly where that is.
The other third tree she had was put there, and the tree supposedly is still standing to this day with a protective fence around it.
Shit, I should go look at that.
Yeah, it's like one of the trees that started the California orange boom, which was essentially I didn't realize it was as big of like a gold rush as the gold rush was, but the citrus industry was
It's not as big now, but like you look at old pictures of Riverside and it was just basically forests, but of orange trees. It's crazy.
Yeah. Now, where your family, you were born in Riverside, where are your parents from there? What's their, like, how did they?
No, my mom.
Where does the AG name come from?
AG name, as far as I can tell, it's French.
Okay.
But my dad's family is mainly from Texas, but I think you can trace them back to like Louisiana. So that makes sense with the French part.
Okay.
My mom's family mainly is Pennsylvania Dutch, and they're from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't – so that would make sense if she had friends – that sent their kids to the boarding school up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they moved to Riverside just to get out of Texas, or where do they, like, how did that?
My dad and his family moved to Yucaipa, which is between Riverside and Palm Springs. It's like right on the border of the desert. And my dad's father was a farmer. I'm not sure why they moved there. It's I don't know why they moved. And yeah. My mom's family moved straight from Allentown to Riverside, which is also weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why people would go to Riverside. And not Los Angeles. You're almost there.
Absolutely. Like, it blows my mind. Like, even, like, driving, like it's got the idea of, like even coming back from Vegas. You know, you're driving down Vegas. And I drove here from, you know, I'm from a small town called Bay City, Michigan, and moved out here from Chicago.
Yeah.
I've made the trek. I've driven out here a few times. Like, I bought a new car out in Michigan one time, and I convinced my brother he needed a vacation. So I'm like, come out with me, and we drove out here together. Wow. And like, you pass these weird small towns,
yeah,
that are just so small. And like even like Barstow, it's Barstow. Like 3.5 hours from the coast. It's like maybe 3.5 hours from the ocean. And it's like, why did you stop here? You're so close to the ocean.
It's like in Waiting for Guffman, they were trying to Blaine, Missouri. You know, the backstory of it is that, you know, they were pioneers trying to get to California, and they just stopped in Blaine and were like, this is it.
Yeah.
It's like, why? You're so close to LA. You're so close to the ocean. You are in a desert.
Desert.
Why did you stop there?
And even like the Riverside aspect is, you're so close to the coast. You're so close to Los Angeles. Los Angeles is, I believe, was still a town, mm-hmm. in the 1870s.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like now I guess if you want to move to California and you want to have a family and a job, you could commute. You could move out to one of those, mm-hmm. those locations, because the it's way cheaper to own a house.
But who settles?
But who settles it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Like, somebody settled it there when Los Angeles was still new and still cheap and still undisclosed terrain.
Yeah.
And they just like,
and like you said, someone settled Barstow.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? That's so weird.
That's so like, fucking weird.
It's the ocean is 2 hours away, but.
And I guess they, at that point, maybe they didn't realize it was only 2 hours away. And that's 2 hours going 75 miles an hour in a car.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like 3 day travel with a horse and buggy, but still, you've made it this far. Why stop in the middle of desert?
Yeah.
Like Barstow, there's no, like, you don't even have like mountains or even like any sort of like tree, I believe.
Even
it's like
Palm Springs. I mean, when whoever it was settled Palm Springs, it wasn't the Palm Springs we know now, where it's
not at all
rich,
yeah,
golf courses and shit. It was flat out sandy desert.
Desert.
120 degree desert.
Yeah, there weren't windmills powering the town. There wasn't anything.
No. Like, that's a weird place to settle as well.
Yeah.
But I had no,
like, there's no lakes or anything even out there. It's just like,
no,
ghost
town. But
like
Riverside gets its name from the Santa Ana River, which runs right through Riverside and to the ocean. But I don't think there's been water in that river in fucking years.
Yeah, well,
like, maybe a little trickle. But like, I remember as a kid, it was just
flourishing,
pretty big. Yeah.
Did you ever go like tubing down it? Was it ever that type of a river?
I don't think it was ever that type of river. But we'd go, you know, as kids, you'll go in any body of water.
Yeah.
I mean, in high school, we used to go to the rock quarry and jump in the – it would fill with water, and we'd go swimming in that shit. And stuff where now I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. I'm a germaphobe. I'm so germy when it comes to like stuff like
Kurt
that.
Kurt Brownoller just recently did a thing like a weekend or two where they went tubing down the fucking L.A. River, which is disgusting.
So gross. And it was even like they were hoping we'd get more rain, and I think they were hoping they could actually like tube down it. But I feel like it was more of like a coast. Like, I feel like they didn't even have enough water to really go tubing down it, but
so gross. I know
a
guy who got Lyme disease from that river. Like, he was with a volunteer group that was cleaning up the river, you know, and there's all these bushes and shit.
Yeah.
He fucking got Lyme disease.
Now, does he still have it? Because I feel like I've read Lyme disease, once you get it, like, it's one of those weird diseases that it can just be dormant.
Yeah. Still got it.
Yeah. Ted Nugent has that. Is your friend Ted Nugent?
It is Ted. No, but also Kathleen Hanna from Bikini Kill
has that.
Yeah.
And like, it's not contagious, right? But you get it from like a bug or like a tick, right? Because I remember like
from a tick.
In Michigan, you get it from like going in the forest and deer hunting and things like that.
Yeah, you get it from, and that's still what you get it from, I believe, is just like ticks from deer.
So weird. And it's Lyme with a Y, Lyme disease, also known as Lyme borreliosis, is an infectious disease caused by bacteria of the Borrelia type. The most common sign of infection is an expanding area of redness known as the erythema migrans that begins at the site of a tick bite about a week after it has occurred. So it comes from a tick. Approximately 25 to 50% of infected people do not develop rashes. So as far as we know, we could have it if we don't develop a rash.
Oh, yeah. Anytime now I'm like in the mountains or go through a forest or like hiking, I like meticulously will look for ticks.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to fucking.
Other early symptoms may include fever, headache, feeling tired.
That's me all the time. Yeah, sometimes I was just like, maybe I have fucking Lyme disease. That's why I feel like this all the time.
If untreated, symptoms may include loss of the ability to move one or both sides of the face, joint pains, severe headaches with neck stiffness.
Maybe I have it. Yeah. My neck hurts.
Yeah, it's very generalized. It's almost like the Pisces. Like I'm a Pisces, and it's like the Pisces have pretty much
me too.
Pieces of every other thing. So it's just like it's a fake made up thing. And I'm reading some of these like, and it's almost like it's just like a Pinterest for symptoms.
When's your birthday?
March 5th.
February 26th.
That's my dad's birthday.
We're like a week apart.
Yeah, exactly a week apart. Unless it's a leap year. Today it was eight days apart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's normally right. It's exactly a week, same day, exactly a week.
Yeah.
That's wild. What year are you? So you're 47?
69.
69, okay.
Yeah.
I got a 69 Cadillac back home in Michigan.
There's nothing more depressing when you're on a website and you're signing up for something and it's like, you know, here's your credit card number and it's like date of birth and you can click and it gives you a scroll down for the year and you're like,
that's the worst.
Holy shit, I am scrolling through the 2000s, the 90s, the 80s, the 70s.
I mean, I'm 82 and it's still a scroll.
Yeah.
When you know, it's like
wait till you're in your 40s and you're like, fuck, man. That's so far away.
It's so I mean, I'm almost there, 34, but it's still like that scrolling is such a it's an interesting thing because I'm working on trying to develop a talk show of sorts with my friend Jamie, and the idea would be like a View but for generations where it'd be like co-ed type of thing where we'd have older people and young people on because it's such a fascinating thing, like even like with remakes, like in our generation, Father of the Bride with Steve Martin was a remake of a movie that came out way earlier than that.
Yeah.
But you have movies now that are being remade from the 80s that the millennials don't even may or may not know that it was made in our lifetime within the last 25, 30 years, 40 years. And even one aspect even further than that, they're remaking movies that were made 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
I know. You know, when I did the Blade Runner April Fool's joke, the only people that were congratulating me are people who were in their 30s or 40s or above who knew the original movie, which was like 82 or something.
82. I think it was 82.
So they're, you know, none of my friends who were like in their 20s said anything. They're like, oh, cool gig.
Yeah, what is Blade
what
Runner?
What is Blade? A sequel, huh?
Which is, I believe there's the Nexus. I believe the Google phone, there's a Google phone called the Nexus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there
and
is.
And I think they got their name from the Blade Runner, the clone species.
Yeah, the Tyrell Corporation.
82.
The Nexus 6.
1982.
Yeah.
Which was the best
year for movies.
Oh, one of the arguably, A, I was born in 1982, but B, arguably, at least I would say 1980 to 1984, because Ghostbusters came out in 84. Even 85, I gotta go one because Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies. But those – and every generation says this. I mean, you could talk to our fathers. You could talk to, you know, people in the who were in the 70s, and they would say, oh, the 70 dude to 75 is the – you know.
Yeah.
But so many – like when did Stripes come out?
I think 82.
Like even just for comedies.
It was either 80 or 82.
81.
Yeah, fuck.
So it's still that, you know, but
What can you click on just the date or the year and it'll say
movies,
top movies of 1982.
82, 1982. Yes, I can. Well, Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
No, that was 81.
Was it?
Jedi was 83, I think. Okay, I'm just going to go through the list of here. I just typed in movies in 1982, and then there's a scroll on Google. Ready? The Thing.
Yep.
Blade Runner.
Yep.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Yep.
Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan.
Oh.
Tron.
Tron.
Conan the Barbarian.
Come on.
Poltergeist.
Yep.
First Blood, Rambo.
Oh, this is all in one year.
Yeah. Tootsie.
Yep.
Gandhi.
Okay.
And Officer.
I've never seen Gandhi.
And me either. An Officer and a Gentleman, I've heard of.
That's a great
that.
Movie.
That's great.
Movie.
Is that where
Richard Gere?
He's like, is that where there's like a pool, there's a pool scene where he's like about to drown or whatever?
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah, yeah. Great movie.
Good. I base a good movie on if there's a drowning
Someone's
scene.
Someone's drowning. No, but the guy drowning, it's not Richard Gere. Richard Gere saves the guy who's drowning. It's David Caruso.
Holy shit.
A young David Caruso.
God damn. Mm-hmm. The Dark Crystal.
Okay, yeah.
Ready? 48 Hours.
Come on, 1982.
Eddie Murphy. Jeez Louise. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, dude.
Porky's.
Yep.
Rocky III. Clubber Lang. Okay. I'll give you that. I'll give you the Mr. T. Which, but he we've mentioned on this podcast before, Mr. T, the I Pity the Fool, was never said in the A-Team. It was said in Rocky III.
Oh,
that's where.
I didn't
speaking
know
of origins and Mr. T and all that, Mr. T got his origins from the Rocky III. That's
I didn't
like
know
that.
That
was before the A Team and
that's
all
amazing.
That. Yeah, because Sylvester Stallone, he was a bouncer at a club. Sylvester Stallone used to go to a lot.
Shit, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
The Secret of NIMH, 1982.
Yeah.
My Favorite Year, 1982. That's a great film. The Beastmaster.
Oh, yeah. Beastmaster. That's a horrible, great movie.
I can't remember who it was, but it was like some comedian tweeted about that when they were a kid, they called HBO, hey, Beastmaster is on. Because Beastmaster. HBO.
No, Dan Harmon had this really funny observation about Beastmaster because the guy, I forget the main guy, the actor's name, but you know he's shirtless through the whole movie, he's got – one of those, if you're above like, you know, 38 or something, you have this little indentation on your left arm from a polio vaccine.
Polio vaccine.
I think it was polio or smallpox. One of those two. It was either polio or I think it's smallpox.
And it looks like almost like a shotgun blast, like the shell. Almost
it looks like, someone took a beer bottle cap and mashed it into your shoulder.
Exactly.
That's visible on his shoulders. Like this modern medical, vaccine is visible on his shoulder. And Dan Harmon said, he's even the master of microscopic beasts.
That's so funny. Diner.
Diner. Great movie.
Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh, Jesus.
Airplane, the sequel.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see here. That's pretty much the main one.
That's
the list
great.
Here.
That's one
Look,
year of
you,
movies.
Just that the
classics.
The first 15 I mentioned, the first 10 I finished. Now, you also think about all the ones that they released that people don't know about that may be called classics. But you look at like movies now, and it's such a. Like, look, they're making a lot of movies now that you don't hear about, especially with on-demands and all that. But these are movies that were released in theaters that people know about and that people know about. I mean, at least people our age. And obviously it's waxing nostalgic, and you talk to a lot of people, millennials who have never seen these. But you can't tell me in 20 years and 30 years that 2016 is going to have 17 movies.
Even
5 movies.
Yeah.
5 movies that are as
look
as
at 2015 culture. Top movies of 2015, and let's see which are going to be like classics that you'll want to be watching in 20 years.
Okay, now this is just obviously because they're recent, but Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay, that's good.
That's a good.
Wait, when did Mad Max? When did Road Warrior come out?
I want to say 76.
No, that was. Mad Max came out.
Mad Max.
Road Warrior.
The number two then?
Mm-hmm.
Road Warrior came out in 1981.
So close.
So in that four. Yeah. When did Mad Max 1 came out here? Mad Max 79. Okay, yeah. So even that. What about Thunderdome?
That was like 90s, right?
85.
Really?
Yeah.
Beyond Thunderdome. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So right. 2015. Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay. Great good.
Movie. Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Okay. This is a little unfair. Maybe we should go back to 14.
Yeah. Inside Out.
What's Inside Out?
It was the a Pixar movie.
Okay.
A really good Pixar movie. Spotlight. It won for Best Picture, but I would say 80% of movies that win for Best Picture, people That's forget it. About. Like, you look, Kramer versus Kramer won, but you look at ones that even.
They're not going to be cult movies that people are going to be like, I got to watch Spotlight once a year.
No. also on that are Carol and The Martian. People aren't going to be watching those movies. Martian, maybe, but not
Martian,
even.
Maybe.
The Revenant.
Maybe.
That's also one of those movies where I don't need to watch it again.
I watched it once. I was like, that was a good movie. I don't need to see it again, though.
Ex Machina.
That's a good movie.
I haven't seen that. That's on my list. I need to see that.
It's great.
Avengers Age of Ultron. Like,
fine.
Fun, but I don't think people are going to be rewatching that in 30 years. Maybe. Right. I don't know. Jurassic World.
No.
Crimson Peak. The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, maybe.
Sicario.
Sicario's great.
Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2.
No.
Minions.
I don't watch animated movies.
Creed.
That's pretty good.
Creed, back to, you know, a sequel to the Rocky 3.
That's good, but I think even in 20 years, I mean, I'm going to be a fucking old man, but if I was going to go back, and I'd watch the first three or four Rocky movies. Yeah.
Spectre?
No.
Furious 7?
No.
No. The Big Short?
No.
Let's see.
I mean, these are all good movies, but ones you don't need to see more than
what
once.
What about Terminator Genesis?
I didn't see it.
Okay, what about this in the comedy genre? Spy.
Again, it's good. Spy actually was really funny.
Really
but
funny, but is it a
cult classic?
Is it a comedy and I'm not saying 1982, but like Ghostbusters or like even like
the thing know, with
like Porky's or even like comedies is so generational as it is.
But the thing with like Ghostbusters is those were like a cultural phenomenon. Those were huge fucking crazy movies at the time. Like Star Wars. I mean,
broke records.
Spy came out, did fine, was good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a cultural, like, holy shit.
Like people, like even, like, The Force Awakens was a cultural thing. Like my mom was even like, do I need to watch the others to watch it? And she ended up watching the other Star Wars with my nephews, so she could go see The Force Awakens.
You could watch The Force Awakens instead of the first Star Wars movie because it's almost the same movie.
It's the same goddamn fucking thing. I still loved it. But even that is, it's like Spy wasn't a culture. Like, it wasn't breaking right. Like, people weren't rushing out.
And it also wasn't a cult classic. Like, kind of an underground, like,
yeah.
You know, like a movie like Bottle Rocket.
Ooh,
like I saw that one because someone gave me a videotape in the 90s. And I was like, fuck, this movie's great.
I had that with like Boondock Saints.
Or Office Space.
Office Space, where it was like, it was such a underground, like they released it and it didn't do too well, but it still, it's an iconic movie now. Like everybody knows about Office Space. Everybody knows about Bottle Rocket.
And Spy's really fucking funny.
Spy's really, really funny. Black Mass, The Divergent.
I loved Black Mass.
That was great.
I thought I want to see Johnny Depp do more movies like that, where he's just a fucking ruffian.
Crazy.
None of this Tim Burton stuff that he does. I'm over that.
I love Johnny Depp, but I want to see him with not a weird haircut. I don't want him to have a weird sport coat and a hat.
Just look like Johnny Depp.
Like every movie he does lately, he seems to have like a weird hat and like a weird sport coat and hair.
Yeah.
And like, put some contacts in, shave your head, do whatever. Like, don't look like
Whitey Bulger.
Yeah. Point Break remake.
Ooh, didn't even watch it.
I didn't see
it. I love the first, and that first one was, I don't know if people would call it a great movie, but it was a fun movie, and it was just an underground. I mean, there was a live Point Break play here and there.
Yeah, I think it still is here and there.
I saw it. It was really fucking fun.
Yeah, like they picked somebody from the audience to be Keanu's Johnny Utah.
Yep. And the audience is yelling out, you know, quotable lines. Yeah. It's fucking fun.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's good.
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
I liked it.
I'm a huge fan of Tom Cruise, a huge fan of Mission Impossible franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I can watch those movies generally a lot.
Me too.
Will it be in 30 years an action movie people go back to? Probably not. Let's see. Everest, I'll say the one. I haven't seen it.
I watched it. It was good.
Is it good?
It's not. Holy shit, have you seen it? But it was good. It, like, if it was on, I'd probably watch it again. I would recommend watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like those types of disaster movies like that too is it's like – I mean, and again, it's because I was born in a time where you didn't have 1,000,000,000 things to watch on Netflix, or you didn't have this type of marketing campaigns
that's
that they
the
do
thing.
Know. But I remember watching, like, you have like movies like The Poseidon Adventure, the original,
mm-hmm.
that they replayed on HBO, or they replayed because they only had X amount of movies to play during. And you're in a whole generation ahead of me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going by what was available to me in the 80s,
yeah.
But there's still a lot of that, like The Sting and things like that, where.
I mean, when I was a kid, there. Cable was just starting, and it was just like HBO, Select TV, but like it was all fucking movies, and there weren't a lot of movies being made. Now it's just we're getting so many amazing movies just through like Netflix, and I think the TV is now better than most movies.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like the fucking. Fargo, the
so
first two seasons of Fargo, the TV series, were incredible.
Great.
Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, there's like amazing TV.
True Detective season one, Mad Men.
Oh my God, yeah.
House of Cards, for that matter,
and
which
I
is
like,
also a remake.
And I like that I can watch this stuff at home on my TV and not be in a theater where someone's fucking phone is bothering me. I get so bugged by
it. And it's movie quality. It's like a seven, like people say... People say some movies are too short, and I think that's a thing. And people say some movies are too long, and I also think that's a thing. But they're at the point now where you have these 8-hour epics that you can binge watch on Netflix or watch over a period of 8 weeks. And it's definitely – we're in a new golden age of television. I mean, look, the 80s and the 70s all had great TV. You know, you got Cheers, you had MASH, you had a lot of great shows throughout time. But I definitely feel like we're in a modern golden age.
Yeah, and there's also like these weird, like movies that are being made for, like I did a Netflix movie like a year and a half ago.
Oh yeah, what was the name of it?
It's called Rebirth. It's like Pat Healy's in it.
Okay.
And Adam Goldberg and Fran Kranz, who was like the stoner guy in Cabin in the Woods.
Okay. Holy
shit.
Now there's
funny.
A good fucking movie.
So, I mean, and that was made for Netflix. I think it's at Tribeca this weekend.
Okay.
Like it's going to screen at Tribeca, but it was really fun to do. And it's just like, this is maybe it'll see a theater, but it's, for Netflix.
I mean, Netflix is dumping some. They just made some record-breaking, like, financial buys the last few weeks, which has been mind blowing. It's a fascinating, as you know, when you look at it's so interesting too, because movies now are like out for 3 weeks and then they're pulled or whatever.
Oh my God!
And you look at like Back to the Future, and that was out for like a year in theaters.
No,
Indiana Jones, Star Wars, a year.
I even saw The Matrix like. Maybe six months. Because I don't know why. I was just like, oh, Keanu Reeves, is he really that great? And then my friends were just like, you have to see The Matrix, dude. If you have to see it. I remember being in the theater sitting dead center, and I was the only person in the theater, and I was on the edge of my seat, huge grin ear to ear.
Oh, man.
Same with Fight Club. I saw that one way late, too, but I was like –
And that was, even the late 90s, where movies would be in theaters for a good 4 months.
Yeah.
And now it's like, that's it. And it's so interesting because
sometimes you can find movies that are currently out in theaters also on iTunes at the same time.
Yeah. That's how fast it is.
Yeah.
And look, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, the way movies are being consumed. Like, I think the fact that like a lot of people don't pay to go see movies now with ticket prices, and since they're doing that, it's gonna get to a point where it's out for opening weekend, and then you can pay for it for like $30 on iTunes or whatever.
Yeah.
But and they also, I feel like they make less movies. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking, I think they make less movies, but I also know it's easier and cheaper to make movies. So they're making a lot of cool, like indie movies and things like that too. So it's a weird thing, but you can find
people have more access to shit that they can make movies for cheap on their own. And it's the same with TV, Louis C.K. kind of really paved a way for television with people like making shows with very little notes where they fucking just do what they want.
And
then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is a great TV show. Baskets. Have you watched Baskets?
I haven't watched that yet. I need to.
Holy shit. Have you seen? It's fucking amazing. Zach Galifianakis.
And like Louis Anderson plays his mom.
Louis Anderson plays his mother and is amazing.
I've heard good things about
it. And he doesn't play it tongue in cheek. He's just acting.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
It's so funny.
That.
It's so good.
It's where it's definitely, and it's also at a point where like our age, I mean, and I mean we're a generation apart, but it's still we're still in that generation of we had what we had on TV. We had what we had on TV and on cable. Yeah. And like you have this nostalgia for these amazing like these cartoons or these you know, these animated kids shows or even like sitcoms of yesteryear. And you have now where you have like my nephew can watch something new every day, every hour, and never rewatch something or even remember about G.I. Joe or things he watched. So it's all like – because Netflix has everything. The internet, YouTube has everything. So there's – I feel like there's going to be a sense – there's going to be a time where there's no nostalgia – where there's going to be a generation that has no nostalgia because they're going to have like, – they've consumed
so much.
They're
not going to be longing for like, oh, remember.
Remember the
like
Masters
with me, it's like
universe.
Seinfeld. Seinfeld's like the last proper
sitcom,
you know, multicam sitcom that I was obsessed with.
Yeah.
And I will still DVR it. Like if I'm going through on my, you know, DVR menu and I see, oh, Seinfeld's on in 2 hours and I'll look and I'll be like, oh, that's a good one. I'll fucking DVR
it. So it's one of those shows. And that was a cultural phenomenon too.
Yes.
That was the NBC had must see TV. And I feel like there are – you still – look, I mean the main four still get, you know, 15 million views. You know, Big Bang Theory still gets 15 million views.
Yeah.
But it's – there's definitely – you don't have that cultural water cooler talk anymore, especially with like – you know, because with cable or even with
– when it was just three networks, that was bonkers.
Fox came out and it was like, what is this? And they had The Simpsons. They had Married with Children and the news. Like that's all Fox had. Cops,
Married with Children was so against the grain of like it was the most anti-family, but also at the same time pro-family. But it was just this.
It was like a new. It was almost like a new All in the Family type of like a spin on.
Yes,
like
which is why I think it worked so well because that hadn't happened in a long time.
Yeah. Right on. We'll see if we were at the hour here.
Nice.
Now it's your show. Plug anything you got coming up. Any date. This will come out in a couple weeks. So any dates, any shows, anything you got. I know you have another. I know you have a podcast that you do
podcast,
on occasion. I believe.
Steve Ag UHHH at the Feral Network. That I'm back to doing regularly, weekly, and. The first week in June, I will be doing my music and comedy show with Brendan Small at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland. And you can also catch us usually the third Saturday of every month at the Improv doing that show.
That's great. Now, are you in the main room or are you in the garage there?
We're in the main room.
Holy shit, that's awesome. That's great. That's great. And where can everybody find you on Twitter and Instagram?
All the social networkings. It's all... Steve Ag, all lowercase, no space. Instagram and Twitter are my main ones. I don't. I tried Snapchat, but it drives me up a fucking wall.
It's like I do it on occasion when I remember, but I can't think fast enough to try and snap things or like it. It's one of those things where it's like I do it because I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
I don't do it as often as I should, or the content I put on there isn't nearly as creative or clever as I probably should be doing. But who knows?
Yeah. I like the Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram's good. Instagram's probably – like I love Twitter, but Instagram's kind of become my favorite.
Yeah. And there's also a weird thing of whenever there's a new social networking app that comes out, I immediately sign up because I'm like –
Do you remember Elo?
Elo. Oh, I had such high hopes for Elo. I will join them all right off the bat just in case it takes off.
Same here.
Elo was a great concept, but a lot of these people or a lot of these social networking apps will have the make the mistake of being in the beta phase for fucking
too
like
long.
6 months.
Yeah.
And they hook you and you're like, oh, this is great. When can I get the app for my phone? And they're like, we're working on it. And then finally when it comes out, you're like, Oh, yeah, I have.
Or even like the List app. Remember that? That was a more recent one.
List. I loved List, and then no one was doing it. And then Twitter always comes. Twitter's like, oh, we can make lists.
Oh, absolutely.
They and they do
the
poll.
And then all of a sudden they did the polls.
Yes.
Like they did that with like Periscope. Like there was that Meerkat, that live streaming, and then Twitter's like, oh, well, here's one called Periscope. And then Facebook will even do one more on that, and just Facebook will take everybody else's.
Yeah. It's
such a you almost need to come out with a good app and try and sell it to a company before you even launch it yourself, because otherwise you're going to launch it as yourself and then like Twitter or Facebook's just going to appropriate that type of format and use it, and you're going to make $0.
Yeah. If you're going to come out with a new app, make sure it's something that Twitter can't easily fucking absorb.
Yeah. Make them have to pay it for you. Like
buy it from you.
That'd be the way to do it.
That's the thing. Like they're not buying shit from anyone anymore. They're just like
doing it.
Oh, we'll just put that feature on our
app. Wild. Wild. Steve, thank you so much for doing the show.
Yeah, Razzle, thanks.
This has been great. Thank you very much. Everybody do those. Everybody follow his social medias and go to those shows. Once again, you can like us on Facebook Today We Learn with Razzle and Dan. You can follow us on Twitter, TWL Podcast. If you got a fun fact or a bit of trivia or a correction, send us a email at todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow Dan, who is in Seattle right now, covering one of those Comic-Con things, the other co-host, Osteoferocious, on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter. My name is Razzle2, the number 2. Follow me on Instagram. My name is Razzle. And on Snapchat, my name is Razzle. Continue telling your friends to listen to the show. We appreciate the support. We've got some fun things in the works for you guys. And as always, hey, Beastmaster is on. Cha-ching. Also, that's
ending. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Steve, so much.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.